Today is the great feast of Holy Thursday, the last evening of our Lord's life. There were many events of great importance that took place on this day, but one of the most significant for us is the institution of the great sacrament of God's love, of the Holy Eucharist, along with the other sacrament that is necessary to have the Holy Eucharist, which is the priesthood. Our Lord not only consecrated the Holy Eucharist for the first time at the Last Supper, but at the same time he gave his apostles the command and the power to do the same thing. And he told them to pass on this power to others from one generation to the next, so that this great gift of himself and the Blessed Sacrament would continue to exist in his church until the end of time. He wanted to remain with us on earth in this great sacrament for all ages, for every human being that would ever live. And he will never take away his real presence from this earth until the end of the world. This is a profound mystery of the love that God has for us, that he would place himself in such a helpless state and make himself vulnerable to every form of sacrilege and disgrace in order to remain with us. He has not only handed himself over to us as our divine prisoner, in a sense, in the Holy Eucharist, but he has decreed that he would never defend himself from any form of outrage. This is a tremendous proof of his love for us. Any proof of love is always the sacrifices that we are willing to make for the ones that we love. And if someone claims to love someone else, but is unwilling to make any sacrifices for that person, then that claim is false. And so if we want to understand the greatness of God's love for us, the way to measure that is by looking at the sacrifices that he makes for us. First of all, in our Lord's passion, which he suffered for love of us, our Lord was outlawed and condemned. His own people rejected him. He was handed over to his enemies, and he didn't demand even the basic right to defend himself. Our Lord sacrifices his rights as a citizen in order to suffer and die for our sins. And so, also in a similar way, our Lord in the Holy Eucharist also sacrifices his most basic rights that everyone has. The law does not give any rights or protection to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. There is no country in the world anymore that makes it a crime to desecrate the Holy Eucharist. He is completely unknown, even to his own creatures. In Catholic countries also, people used to celebrate the feast of Corpus Christi, of the Holy Eucharist, with a procession of the Blessed Sacrament through the streets. But this is all gone now as well. And in many cases, those processions are even forbidden by law. Legally, people are allowed to desecrate our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament in as much as they want, as long as they don't violate some other law that protects other human beings who are not our Lord. We might well ask then, if the public authority will not protect our Lord from his enemies, then won't the holy angels intervene to protect him from sinners? The answer is no. Our Lord chooses to be as defenseless in the Holy Eucharist as he was in front of Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate. And this is by his own will, which he wills in order to show his love for us. And our Lord certainly knew all of this and freely accepted it when he chose to institute the Holy Eucharist and have it continue on earth until the end of the world. But he wants to exist in this state for the sake of the few good Catholics who would love him and honor him and appreciate having him here in our midst with his real presence, and who would honor him by our love and worship, and pray God that we are among that small number. Now, when our Lord was suffering in his passion, He not only lost all of his basic civil rights as a member of society, but he gave up almost everything about himself that we would consider part of being human. He gave up his own will to follow the will of his Father. He gave up the beatitude of his soul so that he would be filled with sadness instead. He gave up his own life on the cross. And it wasn't enough for him to do all of this just once for our redemption. He continues his death, in a sense, in the Holy Eucharist. Of course, he is risen and glorious, but his helplessness in the Holy Eucharist, which he has freely chosen, almost appears to be more like being dead than alive. Our Lord obeys his own creatures in the Holy Eucharist. He comes down from heaven at the words of consecration every single time they are said by a valid priest. He goes wherever the sacred host is moved or placed by anyone, whether rightly or wrongly. He goes obediently into the heart of every single person who approaches the communion rail, whether they are a saint or a sinner, or even if they are in the state of sin. Our Lord obeys even his worst enemies in the Holy Eucharist with the same promptitude and exactness as he obeys the greatest saints. And as he waits for us and for our visits in the tabernacle, he allows everyone to come and adore him in the chapel. Our Lord allows us to decide how often we will come and see him in the tabernacle and pay him a visit, and to decide how long we will stay, how we will conduct ourselves in his presence, and what we will say to him. He never makes any resistance or complaint at how he is treated if he is not treated with honor. During our Lord's passion, he was bound with chains and ropes by his enemies. But in the Holy Eucharist, it is our Lord who binds himself and his power to make himself helpless for our sake. He has bound himself to remain in every consecrated host for as long as it keeps the appearances and the properties of bread. No matter what, he has bound himself to take the place of the bread and wine at the words of consecration every time they are said by a valid priest. And our Lord has never once failed to keep this promise. And in the Holy Eucharist, just like when he was in the tomb, when he had no movement or power of his own, even though he was God himself, our Lord is completely and absolutely dependent on man, similarly in the Holy Eucharist. He is the ultimate prisoner of love, and he has chosen to be so because of his love for us. Certainly, our Lord is glorified, and he no longer has the sadness that he had in the Garden of Gethsemane, because now he is in glory. But just imagine how much he suffers from our ingratitude and our sins. There was one time that he wept over the city of Jerusalem, but he certainly loves the members of his church much more than he loved the Jews. He has sanctified us by the sacraments of the new law, of baptism and confirmation, Holy Eucharist, confession, and so on. And so he is much more filled with grief when we sin against him and choose not to use the graces that he gives us. And even though our Lord can no longer die, still in the Holy Eucharist he almost appears to be dead. The sacred species are consecrated separately in order to show his death again in the Holy Mass. His body and his blood are consecrated separately to make his death present on the altar. So our Lord wants to remind us of his death in every possible way in the Holy Eucharist. In his passion, he concealed his divinity so that only his humanity was visible. But in the Holy Eucharist, our Lord conceals both of his natures. We can only see him with the eyes of faith. But he is lowered to that extent out of love for us. We see none of his power and glory. But what we do see in the Holy Eucharist is the tremendous patience of God with us, which is so extreme that we would hardly be able to believe it if our faith didn't tell us that it is true. And it is like our Lord is asking us today whether he is doing enough for us. Has he not shown us how great his love for us is in these tremendous sacrifices that he has made of himself to place himself into the power of the human race? And today he challenges us to think of anything more that he could have done for us to show his love for us and to make himself more available to us in our needs with his graces. But obviously, there was nothing more that he could do. The Gospel tells us about the night of Holy Thursday. It says that our Lord, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. There was nothing more that he could do for us than he has done for us on Holy Thursday, and that he continues to do today. And so, woe to us if we don't appreciate his love for us. We have to meditate on his sacrifices and receive him in Holy Communion, worthily and devoutly, as often as we can, which is what he wants from us in return. Let us visit him in the Blessed Sacrament whenever we can, by coming to Mass, even during the week, on a weekday, or coming to the chapel during the day to make a visit and just tell our Lord that we believe he is here and that we love him and that we want to see him, just as we would go and visit a friend of ours without having any need to do so, but just to stop in on that person because he is our friend. That is the sort of love and friendship that we should have for our Lord. That is what he wants from us, and it is why he instituted this great sacrament at such appalling cost to himself, to place himself into our power in such a complete way. We should kneel before him and tell him our love for him and ask him for help in all of our necessities. Let us ask him for the courage to bear with our trials and crosses. Ask him to console us in our difficulties. Tell him our needs and ask him to provide us with what we need in this world for both body and soul. We should commend to him our family and our friends. Ask him to protect them, and so on. Let us always be grateful for what our Lord gave us on this last night of his life, this ultimate gift of himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.